Wow, didn't quite expect it to happen like that. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to the Covenant Path. We're now in the Stake Center. So I'm Brother Holland. I'm just going to conduct this first couple of seconds for you. We're going to keep announcements brief. The announcement that we have today is that the Elders Quorum, when we meet, will be here in the chapel. The second thing that we want you to realize is we cannot control the weather and the snow, and so last week we had to cancel our meetings. We will have a fast Sunday going forward at the beginning of every month, as has been done in the past, but there will not be a fast Sunday this month. We will begin by singing hymn number 288, How Beautiful Thy Temples, Lord, after which we have asked Brother Alex Bluth to give the opening prayer.
Our dear Father in heaven, we're very grateful for this wonderful day we have to come together to be able to worship and partake of the sacrament. We're grateful for our family and friends and for the wonderful weather we've been able to enjoy, especially for skiers. Heavenly Father, we ask that we may be able to understand our role in the plan of salvation and that we may strive to better those around us within our own sphere of influence. These things we pray for in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This is the new format that we split back and forth, but I had to run home to help Dana with Michael. So I'd like to recognize President Anderson on the stand, who will be presiding, and I will be conducting. And also our new High Councilman, Brother Lou. You'll see him around, and we're grateful to have him. We have a couple of items of ward business. We have two ordinations that will be happening. And when your name's called, if you could stand, Colin Beckstead. We have proposed that Colin Beckstead receive the Aaronic priesthood and be ordained a deacon. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Any opposed, by the same sign. This is part of the 11-year-olds coming in. We're so excited about that into our deacon's quorum, as well as the beehives. Tyler Anderson. Oh, there he is. We propose that Tyler Anderson be ordained a teacher in the Aaronic priesthood. Those in favor by manifested by the uplifted hand. Any opposed, by the same sign. And we have one other item. We have received the records of the following members: Scott Davis, Ray Davis. Those who wish to welcome these members into full membership in the Heather Ridge 6th Ward may do so by the uplifted hand. Thank you. We will now prepare for the sacrament by singing hymn 185, Reverently, Meekly, Now, after which the sacrament will be blessed and passed to the congregation. Just getting used to how everybody's sitting. Brother Gilman actually is the rebel now. He's moved to completely opposite side of his normal corner, so it'll take a while for everybody to get adjusted. We have two wonderful speakers today. The Richardsons are relatively new on our ward. We've seen them a few times as they were building their home, and we're anxious to hear from them and learn more about them. Our first speaker will be Sister Dana Richardson, and then our concluding speaker will be Brother Kerry Richardson.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. As the bishop said, my name is Dana Richardson. Since we are new here, I thought I would take just a minute and give you a little bit of background about us to hopefully let you get to know us a little bit better, and over time we hope to get to know each of you better as well. So here goes, our life in 1 minute. I grew up in Provo. My husband grew up in Orem. We met at a BYU dance, which is somewhat typical for this area, and we dated for a year and a half, and then were married in the Provo Temple. Just before graduation, we had our first son, and his name is Josh. We then graduated and moved to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, with our first job opportunity, and that was a really fun place to live, a fun place to have our family come and visit, and we lived there for 4 years. Then we had a job change, and, well, while we were living in Florida, sorry, I missed one important point. We had our second son, who was born while we lived in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And then we had a job change, which took us to Greenville, South Carolina, which is a beautiful, beautiful part of the country, and we loved living there. We lived there for 8 years, and during that time, we had our third son, whose name is Ben. And also during that time of those 8 years, my husband worked for a French-owned company, and they decided to send us to live in France for 6 months for some managerial training. And that was a great adventure for ourselves and our three little boys to tour Europe and to live there for a time. We then moved back to South Carolina, where we lived for another 4 years. And while we were there, during that time, we had our fourth son. You see a pattern here. We move, we have a son. We move, we have a son. Anyway, we ended up with four sons. And around this time, my grandfather passed away, and I flew home to Utah to attend his funeral. And when I did that, I grew up really close with my cousins, aunts, and uncles. And that was just a real reminder of that family bond that I had. And I had really missed that living away for 12 years. And felt like my children were missing out on that. So we began the job search of looking for a job somewhere closer to the West, which landed us back in Utah. And we ended up in Riverton, where we have lived for the last 22 years. Keeping with the pattern, we also had a child after our move. Only this time it was a girl, it wasn't a boy. And we had our daughter, Ashley, who still lives with us. Ashley was born with special needs, and we don't have any kind of diagnosis. We don't fit into a category. But before long, she knows no strangers. She loves everyone, and before long, she will know all of your names and how many pets you have and how many children and everything else that she can get out of you. That brings us to today. A few years ago, we both felt that we needed to move closer to our parents to help care for them. And so we did something that we never thought that we would do in our 50s. We sold our home. We moved into my mother's basement to help her care for my stepdad, who was bedridden and on hospice, and to care for my husband's parents, who both have Alzheimer's and just live a short distance from my mother's house. And so in the last year and a half, that's what we've been doing, along with building our home here in your ward. And we are grateful to be here and are excited to get to know all of you and to have experiences and friendships develop with you over the years. Now for my talk. The topic that we were given to speak on today was the temple. More specifically, we were asked to speak on regular temple attendance. As I was thinking about this and pondering the word regular, I thought that can be different for every single person. So I was looking up synonyms to go with the word regular, and some of these were disciplined, consistent, well-planned, fixed, and constant. I thought that these were interesting because in order to regularly attend the temple, we do have to be disciplined. We have to be consistent, it has to be well planned, and we have to be fixed and constant in our efforts. Elder Richard G. Scott said, "I have seen that many times individuals have made great sacrifices to go to a distant temple. But when a temple is built close by, within a short time, many do not visit it regularly." He goes on to say, "I have a suggestion. When a temple is conveniently nearby, as is in our case, small things may interrupt your plans to go to the temple. Set specific goals. Considering your circumstances of when you can and will participate in temple ordinances, then do not allow anything to interfere with that plan. This pattern will guarantee that those who live in the shadow of a temple will be as blessed as those who plan far ahead and make a long trip to go to the temple." I hope you won't mind if I share a personal experience that I had in learning this lesson about the importance of regular temple attendance. Several years ago, our stake president in Riverton asked us if we would attend the temple for the four consecutive weeks leading up to stake conference. And so I was happy to do that. I made that a goal. And for the 4 weeks leading up to conference, I went each week. Prior to that time, I had been attending the temple regularly on a monthly basis. I have to say that I was a little bit relieved after the 4 weeks because it had been really difficult to arrange my schedule and my five children's schedules and activities in order to be able to go to the temple every single week during that time. About a month later, I was sitting in sacrament meeting, and the sister that was speaking was talking about going for those 4 weeks and said that she and her husband had decided that they would continue that pattern and that they would attend the temple each week. And immediately upon her saying that, I had a very strong impression that I should attend the temple every week. I wish I could say I was a totally obedient person and just said, okay, and went right away. But instead, in my mind, I started thinking of all the reasons that that would be impossible at that stage of my life with five children and everything that was going on. But over time, over a few days, I kept having that same impression, and it kept coming back to me. So I made the commitment to start attending the temple on a weekly basis. And after several months, I found that it was easier to fit it in. It was easier to find the time to go. I was being changed. I was becoming more calm, more patient, more able to deal with things. I could see changes in my own self, and it was a great blessing. And then came one of the biggest challenges of my life. And it was a trial that I didn't see coming, a trial that was very overwhelming. And in the middle of the chaos and the trial, I was in the temple one day pondering how to cope and where to turn. And these specific words came into my mind. That's why I wanted you to attend the temple weekly, because you needed the strength from the temple to endure this trial. I realized for the first time in my life that regular temple attendance was truly a gift from Heavenly Father, not just a duty or an obligation or something that I needed to find time to do. And I was really grateful for this gift at this time. I would like each of us to ask ourselves these questions and ponder them. What gifts do I need from Heavenly Father right now? What area in my life can I use added strength? How will I benefit from being more in tune with the Spirit? What relationships do I have that need healing? President Hinckley said, "I am satisfied that if our people would attend the temple more, there would be less of selfishness in their lives. There would be less of absence of love in their relationships. There would be more fidelity on the part of husbands and wives. There would be more of peace and happiness in the homes of our people." Who of us doesn't want these blessings in our lives? Who doesn't want more peace in their families, love in their relationship, and less selfishness within ourselves? I think we all want those things. And I can testify that there is an actual enabling power that comes to you from attending the temple regularly. This was made very clear to me about 12 years ago when one of our sons was going astray and giving us great cause to worry. I was in the temple one day specifically to get guidance and direction as to what to do. I had been to the temple hundreds of times before, and so nothing that was said that day was anything new that I hadn't heard. But because of this circumstance, a part of the temple ceremony really stood out to me, and I realized for the first time the actual power that was given to me through regular temple attendance to bless my children and the generations to come. I was grateful for this insight and for this opportunity to see how the temple could bless me and my children. So how do we make temple attendance regular in our lives? I don't think one answer can fit each person. I don't think one circumstance can fit each person. But I do know that there is great strength in coming from attending the temple regularly. It's worth giving up whatever we have to go. It's worth arranging our time. It's worth arranging our schedule to attend. It's worth being humble enough to learn the will of our Father in heaven and to trust Him enough to do it. I am grateful for the temple. I'm so grateful that we are blessed as a people to live within the shadow of three temples, four temples, within 10 minutes of our home. And I know that as we arrange our time and our schedules and as we make the commitment to attend regularly, that the power and the strength that is there will bless our lives and will bless the lives of our families. I know God lives. I know this is His church. I'm grateful for the Savior, Jesus Christ. He's my friend, and I love Him. And I bear this testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good afternoon. So, same topic for me as well, and so I'll just get it right out there. Yes, it's my purpose in giving this talk to motivate all of us to be regular temple attenders. Also, a quote from the last women's conference from President Nelson, who said, as a challenge to the sisters, and I think it would apply to their soulmates as well, establish a pattern of regular temple attendance. This may require a little more sacrifice in your life. More regular time in the temple will allow the Lord to teach you how to draw upon His priesthood power with which you have been endowed in its temple. So our family, my parents, as my wife has said, is struggling with memory problems. My mom's memory is about 3 minutes for a lot of things, her short-term memory. And it's interesting how debilitating memory problems can be. And so I confess that I also have a memory problem. And regular temple attendance is a strength to me in that way. I need the frequent reminders of the plan of salvation. In my life, I need to be reminded regularly of the blessings of the atonement and priesthood and the covenants that I've made. I am grateful that I have something that can help me remember and help me get my life back in order. There was a year or two ago, I remember particularly in the temple being very impressed by something that was said. And even though I had gone many times before, I decided to more fully accept the challenge in the endowment. We're told as men to see ourselves as Adam and as women as Eve and to put ourselves in their circumstances. And it was a very interesting transformation in my own mind and attitude. I felt impressed that I should memorize the affirmation of Adam and Eve with their experience. And so, quoting from the book of Moses, "And in that day Adam blessed God and was filled, saying, 'Blessed be the name of God. For because of my transgression, my eyes are opened, and in this life I shall have joy, and again in the flesh I shall see God.' And Eve his wife. Sorry, I didn't memorize it so well. Eve, his wife, was glad, saying, "Were it not for my transgression, we never should have had children, never should have known the joy, never should have known good and evil, never should have known the joy of our atonement." Joy of our redemption and the eternal life which God giveth to all the obedient. And Adam and Eve blessed the name of God, and they made all things known to their sons and daughters. My wife described briefly some of the trials that being parents here in the members of the church and parents in Utah trying to raise a righteous posterity, some of the challenges that we all face. And frankly, that reminder of the purpose of this life has become sweet to me. I also want to share a little more family insight. Many years ago, my daughter, Ashley, said to me, "I want a new Carrie." I wasn't sure what that meant. Did she really want a new dad? What does that mean? She wants a new Carrie. So I reacted the best I could, and I, knowing my daughter loves to imagine, we imagined there was a new Carrie, and he just happened to be on an airplane on his way to China, and he wouldn't be available. And since that time, my daughter still likes to bring that up. What is the new Carrie doing? It reminds me of my daughter and her celestial nature, that in the premortal life, we were taught in a kind of Sunday school class what the purpose of this life would be and the blessings and the opportunities that would be given us. I think my daughter was remembering. She was remembering the Carrie from that premortal existence and the promised Carrie that her dad would become. And so I go to the temple frequently because I am trying to become the new Carrie that she imagined would be her father in this life. Last point. Many years ago, in the temple, I go with the expectation that I will receive guidance. As my wife has pointed out, some good examples of specific guidance in our family, and she's much more adept at that than I am. But I do bear testimony that I do go to the temple with the expectation that I will receive blessings and guidance, and vicariously through my faithful observance of temple covenants, that my family will be blessed. I bear testimony that I have seen the results of those blessings. My mother bore testimony to me often of the changes in her children that occurred after years of faithfully putting their names on the prayer rolls of the temple. And I know that that faith was augmented by her presence there in the prayer circles as those names were prayed over. I know that I have seen similar blessings. I bear testimony I've seen similar blessings in my immediate family, and know through the power of prayer and righteous obedience comes faith and miracles. Elder Richard G. Scott gave many suggestions on how to improve our benefit, our joy, attending the temple. Like any activity that's repeated frequently, coming to church on Sunday, it's easy for it to become routine and mundane. And anyone who chooses to go to the temple regularly, weekly, even monthly, will certainly face the same conundrum: how to keep the experience bright, how to fully benefit, not fall asleep, for example, or get bored. So we give some examples. And I'll mention a few, but first I'll mention my own. Having lived on the East Coast where temples weren't so close, we had temple weekends where one would drive a few hours. In Fort Lauderdale, we had what we called kamikaze trips, to borrow the Japanese name. We'd leave after work in the evening and drive 12 hours, rotating drivers. Two would sleep in the back while one would drive, arrive at the temple the next morning and do sessions through the day. And then at the end of the day, return 12 hours, taking turns driving. And I can, even though the name sounds dangerous, I'm not aware of any accidents. But it's interesting, I've never taken advantage of that since moving to Utah. But there is a special blessing that comes from having a marathon day in the temple, repeating sessions more than once. I also know that Elder Scott suggests removing one's watch or timepiece so that time is no longer our focus, and setting aside time to maybe linger longer, either in the celestial room or the baptistry, and taking advantage of the spirit that's in the temple. I know that I have discovered new meaning as the temple ordinances are carried out. Words become more powerful to me, having heard them and striving to understand them. Again, I learned from my personal experience that I should go with an expectation that I will receive revelation for the concerns of my heart. I want to also suggest, as a home teacher, that, you know, now defunct ministering, but as a home teacher years ago, I home taught a sister who hadn't been to the temple in many years. And getting to know the family better, I realized that she had a disability, was not able to read and remember. And knowing that memorization is a part of a temple worship, as her home teacher, I was able to help with that. And so I know that maybe there are some within our ward boundary who have need for a friend to invite them along to carpool or to assist either at the Vale or in other ways. That opportunity is before us to help strengthen the ward by reaching out and accomplishing worthy goals together. I can bear testimony that as a college student, I made regular temple attendance part of my curriculum and study, knowing that picking a career was not something to be done lightly or picking a soulmate. And I needed the strength from regular temple attendance. I know that the same blessings can be available to all ages, young and old, at the baptistry or in the other ordinances of the gospel or the temple. And again, I want to say that not that I mind the topic, but I really wanted to talk about turning one's heart to the fathers and about temple and family history research. How much I love that aspect of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that aspect of worship. How much I love getting to know my ancestors and doing their work for them. I have no doubt that our ancestors are very aware of what we do each day of our lives. I'm very aware that we don't know all of them, that we may have great, great, great grandparents whom we know nothing about, meaning maybe they're a name on some family history chart, but we know no more than that, and yet they know a lot about us. I also know that that's an important part of temple worship, going there with the idea in mind that we are saviors to them. I bear testimony that I know the gospel of Jesus Christ is true and that this church is led by him. And I know that the prophet, President Nelson, is likewise guided through Christ to lead us and to counsel us in this day. And this I say in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to thank the Richardsons for their wonderful talks. It's been wonderful in the last couple of weeks. You go to the temple and there's lines, and which is wonderful to see. And I think the thing that we have to think about is the blessings of the temple for us, but also for all those who need the work done. And I always think about, as you read church history, how much sacrifice that the early members of the church put into building temples. And many of them barely got to enjoy them and be able to receive their endowments. But we are very blessed today, especially living here where we have such great access. And I'd encourage you to take advantage of that. Our closing hymn will be "I Love to See the Temple." And I think it's in the program. And then our closing benediction will be by Sister Heather Holdaway. And I also just like to acknowledge Sister Hill and, sorry, Brother, I went blank. Jackman for the music. Sister Holdaway comes up. So Relief Society will go to the Relief Society room. The Elders Quorum will be meeting here in the chapel. Primary goes to primary, and then young women to the young women's room, and then the young men, we will be meeting in the rooms in this corner.
Our dear Father in heaven, we are so grateful that we could meet together today to hear the talks about the temple and to be able to recommit to attending the temple and being worthy to attend the temple. We are so thankful for families and that we can be with our families this day. Please bless those in our ward who may be sick or in need of extra blessings, that they may receive them. Please help us that we can, in our families, study the scriptures and to strengthen our own testimonies in our families and to strengthen our families. Please help us to find ways that we can minister and be instruments in thy hands this week. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.